very fond of both of them. It was it's just good to come and sing. And I tell you, it's so funny to me how that music and worship, and I don't believe all music is worship, but worship is the condition of our hearts. It's what comes out of our hearts. And so, but it's just so funny to me how that I can come into a service or whatever and just spend a little time singing and just worshiping the Lord, and it's like everything is good. It's just everything's good. And I tell you, I appreciate that so much. The Spirit of God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I tell you, the Lord's Spirit is present. Amen. If you get your Bibles, let's go to Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 6. Now, we've been starting with verse 6. We've been talking about, we started with about being fruitful. Amen. We started there in Genesis, where God created them, and He told them to be fruitful. And our lives are going to be fruitful. And, you know, there's good fruit and there's bad fruit, isn't there? You know, and in our lives, we want good fruit. Now, I don't know. Probably all of us have some fruit, has had some fruit in our life that we weren't real proud of or pleased with. We would like to, you know, we look back and think, we could have done better there, could have, you know. But you know what's a wonderful thing about God is He's the God of opportunity. And, you know what I love about Him is He's not the God of two chances. He's the God of every chance. As many times as you call on the name of the Lord, He can save you. And when I mean save you, I don't mean just, I'm not talking about being born again. I'm talking about bring us out of where we are to where He wants us to be. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. You know, salvation is more than being born again. It's being set free. It's being delivered. God wants us to be made free. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Amen. And God wants us free. But there's some things that we can do. The Bible tells us that we live our life sowing seed. And when I talk about seed, I'm speaking of words and deeds. Our words and our deeds. Amen. James said that a man who offends not in word, the same as a perfect man. Now think of that. So I know I'm not perfect because sometimes I say things and it seems to not resonate with everybody, you know? And so I got room to grow. I got room to be changed. And then we know that James also told us that our words or our tongue was like the rudder of a ship. And a rudder sets the direction of the ship. And, you know, it's really interesting how the rudder's not very big, and yet it can direct a big ship. That ship that ran into that bridge, what happened? Well, they lost power, and because they had no power, they couldn't change its course. You know, it just coasted right into the bridge, you know, because there was no power to change the direction of it. And, you know, the Bible says, James said that our tongue sets the direction of our life. And he went on to say, too, that it was like the bit in a horse's mouth. You know, it set the direction of the horse. And so our mouth sows, our words are seeds that are being sown in the world we live in. I heard this years ago. A guy was preaching on our confession. And what he said was, he said, our words are like a chalice. They hold. They hold peace or they hold confusion. They hold love or they can hold hate. They can hold joy or they can hold... Our words are releasing into the atmosphere whatever we put in them. And that's why it's so important. Jesus said, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And don't misunderstand me. I believe that if I speak death words, it's going to create death. But I mean, I think it's more than that in the sense of we can decide at any moment our words will be life or our words will be death. You understand what I'm saying? In any moment, we can decide what's going to come out of our mouth. Am I going to speak life over these people, over this situation, over this circumstance, or I'm going to speak death? And we know that God's word is life. Amen? God's word is life. And so we Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit, and they're life. And so we want to speak God's word, God's promises over our lives. But in Galatians 6 and verse 6, it says, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, you know, that can be comforting or it can be discomforting, depending on what we're sowing in our lives. Amen? And he said, for he who sows to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And you know, maybe it goes back to my words, Sister Annie. But this morning, Sandy and I were talking, and, you know, I said, the reason that many people's marriage fail is because they don't see the value of the marriage, okay? And I said, the reason I stay married, now hear me all the way before you get upset. The reason I'm married and that I invest in my marriage is to please God, not to make my wife happy. To please God. Being married, doing it God's way. That's what it comes down to with me. And then my second reason is so they can see me live what I preach. That I will live what I preach. That I don't just preach it, I live it out in my life. And I said, and of course, Sandy, I do love you. But if it wasn't for God, and if it wasn't for these other things, I would be so selfish, I would probably blow my marriage up anyway. See, God's the one that makes it work. And my desire to please God gives me purpose. And I think sometimes if we would just get that down in our spirit, that I'm living my life to please God. And it has nothing to do with my feelings or my emotions or anything like that. It has to do with one thing, right and wrong. That's right, right and wrong. I can't let my emotion, every time I've made decisions out of my emotions, I made the wrong decision. I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. Because when I let my emotions control my life, I become selfish in my decision. But when I let the Word of God, God's Word, make the decision for my life, then I've made the right decision. And it makes making decisions so much easier. It don't come down to how I feel. It comes down to the Word. It comes down to right and wrong. So when I'm sowing seed to my spiritual man, I'm making my decisions out of right and wrong, God's Word, truth, amen? But if I'm making decisions out of my flesh, I'm usually making them out of my emotions, out of my feelings, out of, well, I don't like this, I want this, I'm going to do. No, that's just humans. That's humanism. And we live in a world where everybody's letting their emotions and letting their feelings and letting what they think and what they want. But as believers of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, we already know the right decision. We already know what to do. No? Yes? We know what to do. The question is, are we going to override our flesh and do the right thing? That's what it comes down to. And the more you entertain your flesh, the harder it is to do the right thing. The harder it is to do the right thing. And so he said here, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh shall reap, forgive me, shall reap corruption, but he who sows to his spirit will of the spirit reap everlasting life. Amen? Amen? So we want to reap the life that comes out of God. We want to, you know, we can't live for the moment. We have to live for eternity. There's times in my life when I just wanted to let my emotions to have control. But if I did, I'd have to come back and say I'm sorry. I'd have to come back and apologize. I'd have to come back and, you know, because it makes you act out in a way that's inconsistent with God. And, you know, you got to get to a place in your life as you grow and you mature in God that you realize the difference between sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. You know, your spirit, which is born of God and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, knows right and wrong. Now, you can override him, but you still know it. And I don't know about you. The enemy will stand on my sideline and cheer me on to make a bad decision. And the moment I make the bad decision, he'll be the same one that says, see, if you was a real Christian, you wouldn't have done that. I mean, it's the same guy. It's the same voice. He'll cheer me to do it. And then if I do it, he'll let me know what a failure I am for doing it. And there's no winning. And so we gotta understand that living our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. You know, I think one of the problems we have, and you please forgive me for if you don't agree with me on this, is this: we're too worried about what the world is doing instead of just taking responsibility for our own lives. Yeah, they're crazy, but we don't have to join them. They've lost it, but we don't have to lose it. They're going down crazy paths, but we have a path already designated for us. The path that God has set out. Amen? And we don't have to get caught up in what, you know, and don't misunderstand me. I'd like our economy to be good, and I'd like interest rates to be low, and I'd like you all have, you know, whatever kind of job you want, making all the whatever money you want. And I just want everything to be sunshine and lollipops. That'd be wonderful. But the bottom line is, I can't control that, but I can live the life God has. I was talking to my sister came by to see me today, and she hasn't been to my house in months, and well, maybe a year. My sister, she's 2 years older than me. And she came by because it was my birthday, and so she came by for a few minutes. And you know, the world is crazy. The world has lost their mind, has lost their way. But I told her, I said, you know what? I wouldn't know there was problems if I didn't watch the news. My life's good. My bills are paid. We eat, we have plenty of food. God's been good to us. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not denying that there's not problem, but I have a source that comes from God. And he's going to look out for me. He's looking after me. And so my point is yeah, the world, but we got to keep sowing. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. I don't say that lightly. I'm going to vote when it comes time to vote. I want right. The Bible says when righteous people rule, the people rejoice. When wicked people rule, the people groan. They moan. Amen? I mean, that's truth. We understand that. But on the other hand, I've got to just keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. Yes, the waves are blowing. The wind is blowing. But I'm walking on the water. You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus, and I'm walking on the water. And the only way I can sink is if I get my eyes off of Jesus and start looking at the world around me, the waves and the wind. So keep my focus on Jesus, walk out the path he has for me, say what he says, be what he wants me to be, and he will make sure that as I sow to my spirit and the spiritual man, my life, he will keep me where I need to be in the secret place of the Most High. But if I start sowing what the world is sowing, and if I start getting caught up in all that, you know what? It's gonna affect my life. You know, and I don't want that. And I'm not trying to deny what's going on out there. I'm just saying, the waves are real. The wind is real. But God is God. You know, it's like I was sharing with Annie before service, and I know some of you have experienced it too. You know, we got our new policy for the insurance on our house, and they were so good to us, they gave us a $900 increase. you know. I mean, they didn't say hi, kiss my foot, nothing. They just sent me a bill and said, there's going to be another $900 added on what you've been already paying, you know. And my flesh wants to, ooh, and God says, if I put you here in California and I put you here, it's my place to take care of you. So just relax.
Still gonna smack.
Yeah, you do. That goes back to the flesh. And believe me, I'm with her. I'm all in. You know what I mean? But the thing is, because the enemy's always trying to distract me. He's always trying to get me to go down a rabbit trail. He's always trying to get me to leave the thing. You know, I heard a saying years ago. He said, If you're hunting lions or tigers, don't worry about the rabbits. But if you're hunting rabbits, you look out for the tigers. In other words, if you just got a little bitty life and you're chasing every little thing that comes along, good for you. But you might want to lift your eyes and realize that God has a bigger plan for your life.
Amen.
Than chasing little rabbits. You know, so get your eyes on the bigger prize, the bigger things, and God will take care of the rest. He'll make sure the bills get paid. I believe that. He'll make sure you have enough because He's a God of more than enough. But we have to sow accordingly. Amen. I can't get up every day and talk about how we're going to go under and how stupid and I do think they're stupid, but I can't get up every day and talk this and get myself stirred up in it and be down. I got to just know. Jesus said, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So I need to sow seed into my life as a man who truly knows that God is with him. Does that make sense? That God is truly with me. And you know, and I'm not trying to tell you that that there's not challenges, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But you know what? The greater the victory, the greater victory. Amen? The greater challenges you have in your life, the greater the victories are. And so we can just see how good God is. And here he says, we'll reap everlasting. But in verse 9 he says, let us not grow weary. And isn't that the challenge? To not grow weary. He says, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, you reap if you don't faint or lose heart. You reap if you don't lose heart. My King James says, if you don't faint. And then it says, therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And you know what, friends? You can look at that as a financial thing, which I believe that's in there. But you know, doing good for people is more than financial things. You know, it's being compassionate. It's showing grace. It's giving people encouragement. It's not letting the world not buying into what's going out there and just be an encouragement to others. You know, just sow good seed. Words and deeds. Words and deeds. They're the seeds we have. They're what we can sow into other people's lives and sow into our own life, our words and our deeds. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. Some people will never think you did enough. You know, there's always those. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just, and he says God's not mocked. So start, just take your words and take your deeds and sow them consistently as a person in covenant with God. I'm in covenant with God. And you got to keep reminding yourself of that. Amen? You know, I don't know about you, but I got to remind myself, hey, I'm an heir to God. When I pray in the mornings, you know, I don't think I got to remind God because I don't think He forgot. But you know what? When I get it and I pray, I remind myself, I'm reestablishing what I'm believing Him for every day. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that one of the prayers that I pray for us is, as a congregation, is that the eyes of our understanding is being enlightened and we're coming into the knowledge of the truth. Because according to John chapter 8, truth sets us free, you know. And I'm going to say something here, and so just be good. I can't save you. Only Jesus can. You know, I get around people, I got family in the ministry, and they think counseling is everything. I don't think counseling works. Personally, I don't think it works. And I'm not against getting good counsel. But all the good counsel in the world will not change your life. If you ain't a doer of it, you're just full of knowledge. It's all you are. You're just full of knowledge. You got to get it down in your heart and get it acting out in your life. That's when your life has changed. He said, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You got to be, and don't misunderstand, I'm not against counselors, so don't, I just have never seen it work. I've seen people, I have sisters that's been in counseling their whole life, and they're a bigger mess today than they've ever been. And if you're getting the wrong counsel, it doesn't matter. And then I had a friend, she was a lady that was our bookkeeper for like 15 years here. She was in counseling for 8 years, and her life didn't change until she gave her heart to Jesus and started reading the Word, and the Word of God changed her life. But she was in counsel for 8 years. And don't misunderstand me, she had a lot going on in her life. She had to talk to somebody. But the thing is, I believe God's the answer. You know me? God's the answer. The Word's the answer. And don't misunderstand me. Fellowship is the answer. Get around other believers. Get around people that's going to encourage you. Get around people that's going to build you up. You don't need negative Ned. Negative Ned comes around, you might want to leave. I mean, you can't, well, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Hurt his feelings. You can't get around people that are that are tearing you down. You cannot do it. You got to, and don't misunderstand, speak to them. Say, you know what? We're Christians. Let's do it God's way. Let's say what God says. And you know how many people, Christians, I've made mad? Because I've said, you know what? That's not consistent with the Word, and that's not consistent with God. So let's put ourselves. I had one person that I'd go see him once in a while, and every time I'd get around him, he'd just go off down some crazy path. And I'd say, now, buddy, brother, this is what the Word says. If you want God to work in your life, you got to agree with God. You got to pray. And all he did was get mad, because that wasn't what he wanted. God didn't put me in the ministry for me to sit for 2 hours so you could talk a bunch of crap and me sit there and have to listen to it. That's not what the ministry's about. And some people think it is. It's not. Speak the truth in love. But the bottom line is God's the one that's going to change us. And we got to get that down in our spirits. And we got to start living our lives in a way that's going to bring about God's best in our life. I want God's best. No? Yes? Anybody care? Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. So we know this. God is not mocked. We're going to reap what we sow. So let's sow some good stuff. How about that? I think that's a good plan. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judges. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you who judge and practice the same thing. We got to be careful, don't we? That we don't judge others and then practice the same thing. That's not a good thing. And I've caught myself doing that. But we know that the judgment of God is according to what? Truth. Against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? I love that scripture, man. I got it underlined and a circle around the four and a star right beside it, because I need the goodness of God. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, I'm not saying that right, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath for the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. He's warning us that if we judge others and then practice the same things, that we're storing up for ourselves judgment. And I can't afford that. I want to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. I don't want to get up here and preach and then not live it myself. Now, Paul warned this. He said that it would be terrible if he got up and preached it and then got disqualified because he didn't practice what he preached. He didn't do it himself. He said it would disqualify him. I don't want to be disqualified. I want to be a doer. And you know what? God wants us to be doers of the word. Now, please, not laws, not rules, but the word of God. He wants us to be doers. But in accordance with the hardness of your impenitent, I ain't saying that word right, heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath for the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to what? His deeds. Eternal life to those who patient continuance, and I love that, patient continuance. You know, patience is that ability to keep doing the right thing under pressure. There's going to be pressure on you as a Christian. You ever notice that? There's going to be pressure on you. The world is going to put pressure on you. The enemy is going to try to put pressure on you. But he said if we would be in patient continuance, I love the way he puts that. He says, who will redeem each one according to our deeds? Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seeks for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, this is what's going to follow. Tribulation, anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Now, think about that. Have you ever been around people and it seems like there's always something going on? It's like they can never seem to get out of the situation, the mess. And don't miss out, we've all had to experience some things, I guess. I mean, I've had some things in my life, and I'm like, well, that sucked. You know, I mean, I don't want to go through that again, you know. But the thing is, when your life is, when you keep showing up at the same place, right, you keep showing up and there's and it's tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also for the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace. That's what he's called us to. Glory, honor, and peace. You know, glory means the presence of God, the weightiness or the presence of God. Now think about this. God's presence in my life will manifest in different ways. In finances, in health, in good relationships. It's not just about having chill bumps once in a while. It's actually the glory of God, the weightiness of God, the presence of God. It's in our life. You know, we talk about, you know, when you get up in the morning, you should be believing for favor. You should be believing that you're going to find favor, you're going to come into favor, good things are going to come your way, God's got a good plan for your life, you're going to be blessed, whether anybody else is blessed or not, because not that we don't want other people to be blessed, but we're believing that we're going to be blessed. We're going to live our lives in a way in the blessing of God. So when I get up in the morning, I'm going to talk the blessings of the Lord. I'm going to talk the goodness of God. I'm not going to talk cursing myself. I'm not going to talk about, you know, if I wake up and I don't feel just right, you know, physically or emotionally or mentally, I don't want to talk that. I want to start talking the things of God and speaking life over myself and believe in God. Because you know what? All we need is God to show up. Just God glorified, the presence of God, and things will change. You know, one of the things that we need to really get a hold of is that God's real. God is real. And we need to walk and talk and act like God is real. He's real. His word is true. You know, when you're young and you think you're bulletproof and, you know, you got your whole life ahead of you and you got plans and you're going play, you know, it's easy to get caught up in, you know, on YouTube or whatever, they got one after another of, you know, how to be rich and how to this and how to that and how to be a quality person, all this. And the truth of it is, that's not what you live for. And I'm not against being rich, so just relax. But I'm against making that my goal. My goal is God. My goal is to serve God, to please God, to live for God. But if God is in my life, it ought to make a difference. How can God be in my life and there be no difference? How am I going to be like everybody else if I got God in my life? God was with Abraham, and Abraham was blessed. God was with Moses. Moses was blessed. You know, I love the story of Joshua and Caleb. And when God spoke of Caleb, he said that he was a man of a different spirit. Now think of that. He wasn't like the rest. He was the one that came back to said, hey, we're well able to take it. Let's go up at once. And when he got in and he was 85 years old and he looked at the mountain, he said, Moses gave me that mountain and I want my mountain. I mean, he's in his 80s and he's saying, I want my mountain. Moses gave it to me and I'm going to go take it. And the Bible said that he had a different spirit. He wasn't like the rest. And you know what? Each one of us should be a person of a different spirit. Yeah, we're in this world, but we're not of it. My Bible says I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. I'm going to live my life unto Jesus. He's got the steps of a righteous man in order of the Lord, and his ways are pleasing. Amen? All things work together for the good of them that love him and that are called according to his purpose. Amen. All things will work together for my good. Because I'm called according to his purpose. In other words, I'm called to fulfill his purpose, his will. In this. And I'm not talking about being down here on Sunday or Wednesday preaching. I'm talking about I'm called to his purpose on Monday morning. I'm called to his purpose when I'm with my wife. I'm called to his purpose when I'm dealing with my grandkids. I'm called to his purpose when I'm living out my life. His purpose for my life. And it's easy to let the world get us all worked up and get our minds and our eyes off of God. Friend, I am looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. He started it and he'll finish it. And the only way he can't finish it is if I get distracted. When Peter stepped out of that boat to go to Jesus, God's plan was for him to walk to Jesus and walk back to the boat. That was the plan. But he quit looking unto Jesus, right? When he was looking at Jesus, he could go, he could do it. But when he got distracted from Jesus, he started to sink. And it's simple as that with us. Was it? It's Hebrews. I mean, Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Do we need to look unto Jesus and say? You know how you hear the Bible and you read it over and over again? You know, when God came to Mary, or the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to conceive and bear a son, and she said, how can this thing be since I don't know a man? And the angel said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and overshadow you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to create this in you. And Mary said something. She said, according to your word, be it unto me. And then in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the word was made flesh and he dwelt among us. Because she received the word was made flesh and he dwelt among us. And you know what, friend? If we can receive God's word into our life and make that the seeds and the deeds of our life come out of the Word of God and our relationship with him, we're going to have life. And we're going to have it more abundant. So God is not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. So my advice is let's sow good stuff. That'd be good. That'd be probably the best way to do it. Verse 10, "But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is what? No partiality with God." In other words, God don't have no favorites, and It all works the same. It works the same for all of us. It works the same for white people and black people and young people and old people and fat people and thin people and tall people and short people. The word works for all of us exactly the same. You're not special, but you're not not special. Amen? It's just be doers of the word. Let's do it God's way. What's God's plan? What's God's will? Don't get caught up in the chaos. I catch myself getting caught up in the chaos. Am I the only one? Go to Romans chapter 6. So, Romans chapter 6. You know, we want to get in line with God. Let's sow the good. Let's speak the good. What do you got to lose? I mean, you hear stuff people say and you just kind of like, what? I don't know. I'm going to get in trouble here, but when I was a kid growing up, it was like, if there was gossip in the church, it was usually the women. Now, I just everybody relax. But not anymore. Men are gossips too now. It's like, when did we get that way? I mean, why aren't we speaking life over our church and over each other and over the will, God's plan for our life? And are you speaking life? If you're over the usher team, are you speaking life over the usher team? If you're in the praise team, are you speaking life over the praise team? If you're over the hospitality, are you speaking life over the hospitality? What are you doing? You're speaking life. You're speaking God's word. Come, because it's God's word. It's going to, according to your word, be it unto us, God. May your word become flesh. Amen. May it become real in my life. Sow the word into my life. Sow the word into the lives of others. What if we built each other up? It might make us better. You know, it might help us on our journey. Oh, you can do it. Quit looking at yourself like that. Look at yourself the way God sees you. You're awesome in God. Amen? You got to build yourself up and you got to build up others. Amen? You reap what you sow. So let's sow good stuff, not only in our own life, but in the lives of others. I tell you, we need it. We all need it, don't we? Look at verse 8, Romans 6, 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives what? To God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. What does mortal mean? Death, doomed body. In other words, he's talking about this body, not my glorified, this body. That you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And I love this. For sin shall not have dominion over, he says you, but I say over me. For you are not under the law, but under grace. So grace gives us the power and the ability to live our lives as though we are dead to sin and we are alive unto God. You know, we want to sow the seeds of a man who is alive to God. Oh, God is, I'm alive in Christ. I'm seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. Greater is he that is in me than it. You know, one of the greatest things, I think, one of the greatest failures we can have in our life is we spend our life looking at ourselves. Look to Jesus. I am who Jesus says I am. I'm who he says I am. I am saved because of Jesus. His grace is sufficient. The more I focus in on him, the more victory I'm going to have in my life. The more you focus on yourself, the less victory you're going to have on your life. Because I don't know about you, but I can see my shortcomings. I can see who I am. And don't misunderstand me, I got to see who I am in Jesus. And it's so funny, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, if I believe what Jesus says about me, it's going to change my life. But if I don't believe what Jesus says about me, my life won't change. So the enemy wants to keep you distracted, thinking you are who you are outside of Jesus. He wants you to see, and you know what, friend? I believe this with all my heart. God never meant this to be hard. I believe God wanted you to get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, grow up in a good word, life-giving church, and go from a newborn to a toddler, to a junior high, to a full-grown Christian adult living in an environment where Jesus Christ is being glorified and honored. But in too many times, we get people birthed into the family of God in our churches, but the people in the churches are so dysfunctional, the people that get born again don't know how to live. How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to be? Are we going to be who God is? If we're healthy, we're going to raise healthy. Right? But if we're not healthy, we're just going to raise more unhealthy. Come on, if you're a redneck, you raise rednecks. I mean, I got three of them. You can go to places, you know, we talk about Harlem or places, the ghettos and places in the big cities. Man, you can find some holler up in South Carolina where the biggest thing that they got going for them is chewing tobacco. That they live for chewing tobacco. They live for moonshine. I got nephews. I got a nephew who lives in Tennessee, and the highlight of his life is the moonshine he makes. And that's in 2024. That's the highlight. And they're addicted. Death is everywhere. And how do you think his children are going to turn out? Another generation of the same. Well, if we're healthy, we're going to raise healthy. If we're not healthy, we're going to raise healthy. So we need to be healthy, spiritually speaking, so when people come into our church, we can raise spiritually healthy people. Amen. Amen. And so you got to come, you got to decide, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want out of your walk with God? What do you want out of your life? What kind of seed do you want to sow? You know, I'm so good at making excuses. I'm good at it. I'm good at justifying. But that ain't gonna get me anywhere. You know, my mom used to tell me all the time, she goes, Dennis, you take too much responsibility. But my attitude is, where else am I gonna go? I can't blame everybody else. I can't blame you. I can't blame God. I can't blame... I'll take the responsibility because I'm the only person that I can change. Oh, yes. If my health isn't good, I'm the only one that can make changes. If my finances are bad, I'm the only one that can make changes. Nobody can save me. Nobody's coming to save you. Jesus saved you. Now, you got to let him save you. And it starts by putting good seed in your own life. We'll talk about that maybe next week. But putting good seed in our own life. Because here's the thing. Seed sown in your life will only produce based on the condition of your heart. You can take good seed and put it on a rocky soil and you won't get a good harvest. Right? Yep. You got to prepare that heart. You got to break. Fallow means hard. You got to break up that hard ground and get your heart ready to receive the word. But you know what? If you're always offended and you're always feeling like you've been done wrong, and I don't know about you, but I got to battle being calloused. John used to always tell me, Dennis, you're jaded. Boy, ain't that the truth. Well, here's the problem. If you live your life from that position, are you going to be able to receive? If you've already made up your mind, you've already decided, how can God change you? How can you be changed? God, make me pliable. Help my heart to be ready to receive the truth. That's right. Help me to receive your word. Help me to be ready to change. You know, I'm a rut guy. I get in ruts. I mean, I call it discipline, but my wife calls it ruts. You're in a rut, dude, you know? And it's like, get up at the same time, do the same thing, eat the same thing. Get up at 4:45, work out, come in, get showered, get up, make your three pieces of bacon, your English muffin and your two eggs. And that's what you, every morning, with a little bit of pat of butter with some honey in it, smeared on one of them. That is awesome. Try that. That's good. But the thing is, just a rut. I can just get in that rut. Get to the church at that certain time. Be there for a certain time. Leave at a certain time. Go home and do God certain things. That's when I just get that way. I just get in a rut. Yeah, I just get, you know, and sometimes that rut needs to be interrupted. Sometimes you need to let God interrupt your life. And I believe in sowing good seed in my life. And I think what I'm trying to do is good seed. I'm trying to build my, but you got to make a place for God. You got to make a place for God. And you know what? You ever notice Jesus? I'm almost done here. You ever notice Jesus? Almost every miracle he did came out of an interruption. He was on his way somewhere and somebody interrupted him. And when you're a rut guy, I mean, disciplined.
Habitual.
Yeah. You know what makes you mad? Is interruptions. This morning I got interrupted, so I got to the office late this morning. And those kind of things are, and I know this sounds stupid, but that kind of things are hard on me. It's like, oh man, I'm out of my... I'm out of my rut, you know. It's like, you know, and the thing is, but it was good. It was a good thing. But the thing is, Jesus was walking, and all of a sudden Jairus comes up. So then he heads to Jairus' house, and then the woman with the issue of blood shows up. You know, it's like, then he's going into Jericho, and blind Bartimaeus shows up. His whole life is about being interrupted, and my life is all about not being interrupted. You know, it's like, God, help me to have a spirit of Jesus about me. Amen. And so I want to sow the seeds into my life. You know, it's so easy to take on the world and let the system, and I'm not against everything. I'm just saying, make a place for God. Get in it. Get his word in you. Your word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Amen. Get the word in you so he can grow up and produce in your life. Friend, folks, I believe we got a bright future if we want it. Or we can just sit around and fret about it. I'm not going to do it. With God's help. God's help, I'm not doing it. I'm going to enjoy my life. When I say everything I have, God gave me, that's not a lie. That's the honest, the goodness, truth. Everything I have that's good came from God. And he ain't going to quit being God. Not in my life. He's going to be God. Amen? So let's sow good seed. Let's give him a chance to work big in our lives. Let's sow some good seed. Let's sow good seed in people's lives. Let's sow good seed in our own life. Be nice to yourself, okay? God ain't edified by you putting yourself down. I think God would be edified if he is edified by you believing what he says about you. I think that'd make him happy. So let's believe what he says about it. All right, let's stand.